Today we're beginning our second message from the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 1, so you want to turn in there. We're also going to be turning to the Gospel of John a little bit later, so you'll want to maybe look that up or just be ready for it. Last week we started and we considered the first few words of the Bible, in the beginning God. And today we want to extend that a little bit, in the beginning God created. So we're making some really good progress here, but some of this stuff is it's critically important, especially given what the school systems are teaching our children, what the movies and the shows are projecting out to us, what we hear on the news. Actually, it's everywhere. We are saturated with the scientific view of evolution, and we, as Christians, need to understand where we stand. And last week, I know that my message was a little bit technical, but again, because of what's going on in our society all around us, I thought that that was important. And today, maybe we'll move a little bit closer to some of the things that the Bible teaches. We'll do that in a moment anyways. First, I want you to pretend you are in a spaceship and you have left Earth. And you're flying through the space, and you're headed towards Mars. And you get to Mars, and you land on Mars, and you're just so excited to get out of the spaceship and go explore and go around and see what you find. And so you get out of the spaceship, you start walking around, you come across the bend, and you find this. A little shack with things that work. Right there in the middle of Mars. You did not expect to see it, but there it is. What are you going to do? What's going to cross your mind? Some of the first questions that you are going to think about are, well, who did this? How did it get here? Where did it come from? Why do you ask those questions? Because here we see something that is designed, that is operational, that is functional, that is unlike all of the other surrounding terrain. And those are appropriate questions to ask. And those questions are the questions that people are confronted with when investigating the universe. When scientists look, or anybody, when we look, when we take a telescope, when we look to the farthest reaches of the universe, when we take a microscope, when we look to the farthest reaches of the atom, it doesn't matter where we look. It is beautiful, it is designed, it is functional, it is operational. And the reasonable question to ask is, who did this? Why did they do it? How did it get here? That is the reasonable question to ask. And science is faced with the dilemma in their insistence on not believing in God. They are faced with explaining how, by some of the natural processes, the designed universe has come into being. And it is a futile effort. Believing in God, God the Creator, the all-powerful, all-knowing, all-able God, believing in Him as the Creator of the universe is the most logical and reasonable response to what we find in creation. Now, you and I, we're not scientists or philosophers, and praise the Lord for some of those other people that are that are so smart, so much smarter than we are. However, that does not mean, since we are not so smart and philosophers and scientists, that does not mean that we can't have an educated position on how faith in God and His Word stands up under the scrutiny of the unbelieving world. In other words, we have a reasonable faith. It is a faith that makes sense, and it is a faith that makes sense and explains everything that we experience in this universe. And we need not be ashamed that we believe in a God who created everything. That is not a dumb position. That is not an ignorant position. It is, in fact, the most reasonable and the most sensible position and conclusion to come to. And then, of course, praise the Lord for those Christian scientists, those scientists who are Christian, and those philosophers who are Christian, who are brilliant. Praise the Lord for them. There are some really smart strong Christians out there. And they are standing up in the world on the level of all these other scientists and philosophers and coming out ahead. Because, again, the Christian position is the position that makes sense. And so we need not be ashamed. We come to creation. We come to the Creator. It is not just faith or a religious thing. It is a true thing. And we can have confidence, if you will, in the Word of God and in our faith in God. We come to God and we come to His Word, and because He is the Creator and because everything is explainable in Him, we find the truth that is relevant for the entire world, whether the world believes in Him or not. Only in Him do we find the right and true and reasonable explanation of all that is. He is the Creator. He made it. It is His idea, and it works. And so, in the beginning, God created. Praise be to His name. Now, as we come to understand this, it's pretty interesting. I was just honestly overwhelmed in preparing for this message, because from the beginning of Genesis all the way to the end of Revelation, the Bible speaks about God the Creator and the things that He has made. It talks about the heavens and the earth, and it often uses it as it's called a merism, where you have these two extreme things that are meant to describe the whole. So we see the heavens and the earth, and it is a device to refer to all that is created, the entire universe. And so we see that from beginning to end, everywhere we turn in the Bible, we have a reference to God, the Creator, and to the universe that He has created. And there are some fundamental truths that I think that we can fall on that are really important to us as we consider that God is the Creator of all things. And so I want us to consider these truths. The first one is this. God is greater as the result of creating everything. God is greater than everything. God is greater than everything. In the beginning, God created. The word created there in the Hebrew is bara. Everybody say that together. Ready? Bara. Bara. Say it one more time. Bara. All right. An easy word, a small word, a short word, but it is an important word. This word means to make something new or to renew something. And what is unique about this word is that every time it is used in reference to God. So God is the only subject of this word. In the beginning, God created, bara, everything. And because it is a reference to God and His work, whatever that might be, we come to the understanding from this passage and other passages that God is the one who created everything, and He created it from nothing. So we see verses like Psalm 148, verse 5. It says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord," and here it is, "for He commanded, and they were created. He spoke, and they were created." Now, that is unlike us. We have the ability to kind of join in God's creative work, but we can't create out of nothing. What do? We take the stuff that's around us and we create, right? And we make things. But God but spoke, and He created them. Something that, that's a little bit farther removed from us. But even there, the words that we speak have that kind of a power to say, like, I want to build a church. And here it is. You know, we start acting and putting all the things together, and it is expressed here. And so we see this come, that ability comes to us having been made in the image of God. He created by just speaking, and we can experience that, and we see that. We have a term, creatio ex nihilo, which is a Latin term meaning creation out of nothing, and it is the term that is used to apply to what God has done here in the beginning. This word bara, remember, that's the Hebrew word for to create, is actually used as a, a, name of God. Notice here it says, remember now your Creator. You see that there? Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth. The word Creator is the word bara, or in a participial form. So he, remember now God your bara-er, right? It's used to describe God. He is the one who is the Creator one. Remember him when you're young. How many of you are young? I ask you this all the time, right? Do we still have some young people out there? Just two this morning, not too many of you, right? Remember him in the days of your youth, before the difficult days come and the years draw near when you say, I have no pleasure in them. Just to go back to something I was preaching on not too long ago, we want to be able to handle the crises that come into our lives. And we think that, well, what happens is we get to the crisis and then we just kind of fall to pieces and we cry out to God and we ask for his help and praise the Lord, he's gracious and merciful. However, in Scripture, we often find that being able to handle the crisis comes from a life lived in his presence day in and day out through the non-crisis times. So here's a verse that shows that. Remember him when you're young. Hey, young folks. All right, if you're a teenager or younger, raise your hand. Don't turn away from the truths of God now. Now is your time to learn how to live and to walk in him so that when you get older and the days of, what does it say, the difficult days come when you get older because they're going to come, you're going to be able to handle them then. Don't reject God now, all of you who are young. So, God is the Creator. He commanded, he created, and that power that commanded and created is unrivaled in the universe. And this is, one of these points that come out from the fact that God is the Creator. His power is unrivaled in the universe. In Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, Ah, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. There is nothing too hard for you. Amen? If God created all of this, then nothing within this is too hard for him. And the universe submits itself under his authority and his power. He is greater than all the universe. Praise be to him. In the Bible, this is particularly important with reference to the nations of the earth and the gods, the false gods of the earth. So God is greater than all the kings of the earth. He is greater than all the nations of the earth. He is the one who establishes one and tears another one down. He is the one who does all of these things, and nothing is too hard for him. Nothing is impossible for him. There are examples in Scripture where this power of God over the kings and over the nations of the earth are exemplified and are seen. And one example stands out to me in particular. It is the example of Hezekiah. Now, Hezekiah was a righteous king in the southern kingdom of Judah, and there was this superpower, the Assyrian Empire, that was conquering all of that part of the world. And the Assyrians came and they had conquered the northern kingdom of Israel, and they had come to Jerusalem where Hezekiah was, and they surrounded Jerusalem with their armies. And Hezekiah fell down before God, having received a threat letter from Sennacherib, the Assyrian leader there. He came before God and he put it down before God and he said, Lord, see what they are saying. This is a disgrace to you. This dishonors you. I know that you are the Lord God above all. You are the Creator. You are more powerful than all the nations of the earth. And in that particular time, God heard the cry of righteous Hezekiah and he sent a single angel down. And that angel just walked through the Assyrian army and swatted them aside like flies. And in the morning, 185,000 of the Assyrian army were killed. And the rest went back with their tails between their legs. God is the Creator. He is over all of the nations. Another thing that comes to us from the Bible, that God is the Creator. He is more powerful. He is over all other gods. All who would claim to be a god He is greater than them all. There are no other gods before Him. And I wish I could spend time on Isaiah chapter 45. And I would, here's your homework for this week. Read Isaiah chapter 45. And in Isaiah chapter 45, it's a great chapter. It just brings attention to God the Creator. He is greater than all the other gods. And so we see this over and over again. And as a result, God is worthy of our attention. He is the great God, and He has come down to us, and we should be turning towards Him and yielding ourselves to Him. After all, the great God who created the universe, there's really an important question here. He who created the universe, why would He look to you and me? Who are we that God would even give a second thought to, even a first thought? Who are we? What are we that God would give any attention to? And yet He does. Let me read Psalm chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. It says, "When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, what is man that you are mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him?" Who are we that God would give any attention to? And you know, this could be pretty discouraging. If I am nothing before this God who created all of these galaxies and stars, billions and trillions of them, why would He pay attention to you and me? And yet He does. We are not without significance. We have significance. We have value. Why do we have significance and value? Because He says so. And for no other reason. He made us, and because He made us, and He has chosen us, and He has chosen to look towards us, therefore we are important. We are so important that He came to this earth to give His life that we might have a relationship with Him. There is nothing about us that would call attention to us by God the Creator. And yet He loves us so much that He died for our sins. All creation humbles itself before Him. All creation will come to Him. Nothing comes out from under His purview. Notice in Isaiah chapter 24, verse 23 says, "The moon will be disgraced and the sun ashamed, for the Lord of hosts will reign on Mount Zion in Jerusalem and before His elders gloriously." The moon and the sun, those great lights in the sky, they are disgraced, they are ashamed, they are humbled, they are nothing before God the Creator. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28, "Now when all things are made subject to Him, then the Son Himself will also subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all." And so God, He is greater than all things. He is above everything. And what does that mean for us? It means that we should humble ourselves before Him and worship Him. Psalm 95, 6 expresses this among other places. "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our" what? Our Maker. He has made us, and there is nothing for us to do than to come before Him, to kneel before Him, and to worship Him. There is nothing. There is no aspiration. There is no work on this earth. There is no relationship. There is nothing on this earth that should keep us away from going before Him, our Maker, and kneeling down before Him and worshiping Him. And so let us put it all aside. And this will be fully expressed in Christ one day. You are probably familiar with this passage. It says in Philippians 2, 9 through 11, "Therefore God has highly exalted Him, Jesus, and given Him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, and of those on the earth, and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's say that now. You ready? This last part. Jesus Christ is Lord. Let us make that confession now. You ready? Ready, set, go. Jesus Christ is Lord. One more time. Jesus Christ is Lord. Actually, three is a good number. So one more time. Jesus Christ is Lord. I hope you were able to make that confession willingly. One day all of creation will get before Him. And some, like us, will say it willingly. The rest will be forced to say it. For He is Lord. And they will confess it. Not only is God greater than everything, but God owns everything. God owns everything. He made it, and so it is His. In Psalm 89:11, it says, "The heavens are yours, the earth also is yours, the world and all its fullness. You have founded them." Well, this makes sense. God made the world and everything in it, and it all belongs to Him. In Acts chapter 17, verses 24 through 25, it says, "God who made the world and everything in it, since He is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, since He gives to all life, breath, and all things." Notice, our life and breath and all things are connected to God who made the world and everything in it. He is Lord of heaven and earth. It all belongs to Him. There's a passage in Psalm chapter 50. Let me read it to you. It says, "For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle on a thousand hills. I know all the birds of the mountains and the wild beasts of the fields. They are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." Now that passage is talking about the sacrifices. God commanded the sacrifices, but He is saying here, look, it all belongs to me. I don't need your sacrifices. What I want is for you to give me thanks, to pay your vows, and the surprising part of it is this: call upon me in the day of trouble. That's the surprising part. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me. Praise be to Him. In Colossians chapter 1, verses 16 through 17, these things come out over and over again, like I said. "For by Him," this time this is a reference to Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Creator of all things. "By Him all things are created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or powers, or principalities or powers. All things are created through Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and in Him all things consist." Notice, by the way, that God didn't make the universe and just kind of let it go and run on its own. No, He is here before all things. In Him all things consist. He is the sustainer. We take this next breath. Take a breath. You took that by the grace of God. I love that. That was great. All right, I'm going to need a few minutes to recover. Couldn't have planned that any better. I'll have to find out who did it afterwards. But all right, verse 18. "He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in Him, in Christ, He may, in all things, He, Christ, may have the preeminence. He is over all. It all belongs to Him." So, God created everything. He is greater than everything. He owns everything. And everything testifies to Him. Everything testifies to Him. This is, again, I'm so easily amazed, but here it is. It's Psalm 19:1. "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork." The heavens declare, speak forth, proclaim His glory and the works of His hand. How many of you have been to a part of the world, and it doesn't have to be far away, but how many of you have come to something that you have seen in this world and have just been amazed by it? Wow, that is so beautiful. Wow, that is so amazing. Look how big that is. And yeah, I saw a lot of hands go up, right? That is receiving the declaration of His creation. He declares it, and we receive it. And we are amazed and astounded by it. It says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20, and this is taking that truth and kind of putting it in a negative way for the rest of the unbelieving world. Notice what it says in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they, those who reject God, are without excuse. This is incredible. It says that creation, because it testifies of some things concerning God, that no one, whenever they come and stand before God, their Maker, will be without excuse. Why? Because they have seen and they have heard the testimony of creation. Creation testifies of Him. Now, to whom does creation testify? To us. To us. And this is really important. Creation speaks of God's glory to us so that we might know Him, that we might understand our place, that we might understand that we need salvation, and our salvation is found only in God, the Creator. And so, He has given a testimony to Himself, and it has come to us, and we see this next. God the blesser. I'll come back to that and put it together in a moment. But the next point here is that God is the blesser. So God is the Creator. He is all powerful. He is over everything. Creation testifies, and for what end? To bless you and me. To bless you and me. We already saw it at the end of that one verse where it was unexpected. But here it comes to us over and over and over and over again. He has made everything. Therefore, be encouraged, because He will bless you. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heavens and earth. Psalm 12, 121, verses 1 and 2 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. And part of describing that God is the maker of heaven and earth in telling us that He is our help, it is because of this. Look, He made everything. He can surely help you in your trouble. It was no problem for Him to make the universe. It is no trouble for Him to help you and me. He is our helper. Where do I get my help? My help comes from Him, the maker of everything. In Psalm 121, I have verses 1 and 2 here, but the following verses say this, and I'm going to go through this quickly, but notice the result of coming to the Lord who made everything. This is some of the practical things that are listed in this passage in which He helps us. It says in verse 3, He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth, even from forevermore. And so God the Creator comes to us amazingly, and He says, I am here to help you. I'm going to protect you from the sun and the moon, and I will be with you. And no matter where you go, in your comings in and your goings out, I will be with you, and I will preserve your soul. I had mentioned Psalm 145 a minute ago. I mean, Isaiah 45. And there's one verse I want to bring out here from this Isaiah 45. That was your homework, remember? You guys remember? You think you're in school, right? All right. Isaiah 45, this is your homework. Read this chapter. It won't take you long, maybe less than a minute. This is verse 8. Now, what's happening here, he's going to use the language of creation to express the creation or the other thing that he's doing here. Rain down, you have, actually this is kind of, it's following after the flood during the days of Noah. Rain down, you heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open, and let it bring forth salvation. And let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created. And there's the word bara again from the beginning. I have created it. So he goes back to creation and the heavens and the earth. And then he's referring back to the flood of Noah. And rather than the flood of waters to consume the earth, it is a flood of righteousness and salvation to deliver the earth. I have created it. And this is why I called my message today, God the Creator of Salvation. Because the Creator of the universe, and even the flood that destroyed, that brought destruction upon the earth, they are meant to be types and pointers to another work that He created. It is the work and the creation of our salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. And so let the heavens open up and pour down righteousness. Let the earth open up and let salvation and righteousness spring forth together. Let the salvation of the Lord flood the earth. And so why did He make you and me? And here it gets even more astounding. Why am I here? Why do I live? Why do I exist? Did He make me? That I might be saved. And that I might be one of His. All creation points to the salvation that He brings about for you and for me. And this salvation is the greatest of blessings that we might receive. Sure, I need a blessing in this relationship, and I need a blessing in this health thing, and I need this financial blessing. We all need all of these, we need help in all of these areas, but the greatest help that we need is the help for the forgiveness of our sins and the restoration of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That is the greatest blessing that we give. He might heal me today, but that is only temporary. But my eternal salvation is eternal. It is forever, and I will rejoice in it for all of eternity. And that brings us to that last point, which is up here on the screen. Jesus, the Creator and Savior. And here's where we want to look at John chapter 1. And I'll wrap it up quickly here from John chapter 1. I've been reading this passage. Well, I read it last week. I read it another week in relation to something else. But here it comes again. John chapter 1. And you can follow along as I read it in verses 1 through 3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. He made all things. Verse 4 says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So the Creator came with life, just like that Isaiah passage. Verse 9, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Verses 12 through 13, but as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And as we move through the Gospel of John, the word and the encouragement to believe is used almost 100 times. God the Creator has come with Him, has come to this earth, and with Him He brought life and light to the world. He has spoken to us through His Son. We are born of God by His grace, and we turn to Him with our lives, having been made in His image and existing here in this moment, in this place. Will we look to the Creator and receive life? Will we look to God, our Maker, and bear His light? I hope we will do that today. Let's stand as we worship Him.